Today's daf is Yevamos daf Samach Vav. We left off on the bottom of daf Samach Hey and the base. So we're going to finish up the sixth parak and begin the first daf of the seventh parak. So in finishing up the first parak, we're going to still talk a little bit about a woman's chiyuv in Peruvu, or lack thereof, and then we begin the new parak. Samach Vav Amar Aleph is going to be dedicated entirely to a discussion of which kinds of avadim are allowed to eat truma and which kinds of avadim are not allowed to eat truma based on different marriages, almana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hadyot, different types of avadim, nichsei melug, nichsei tzon barzel, who is and who is not allowed to eat truma when the owner of those avadim, the woman who owns those avadim, gets married to a kohen. Most of the daf is going to talk about avde melug and the reason why the avde melug do not eat truma, but that's Amud Aleph. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss entirely the issue of nichsei tzon barzel. Nichsei tzon barzel is a woman brings into a marriage certain items, and the husband takes full responsibility for those items to the extent that even if they lose value entirely, he has to pay back the full value of the item, and even if they go up in value a lot, he only has to pay back the original value of the item. So the question the Gemara is going to deal with is when a woman brings in kelim of Tzon Barzel to the marriage and then the marriage ends, does she have the right to demand specifically those same physical kelim back? Or can the husband say, no, I'd rather just give you cash. We already said of a certain price that I owe you for all the kelim that you brought in. That's what Tzon Barzel means, that we evaluated what it was worth at the very beginning of the marriage, and that's what I'm going to owe you anyway, so maybe I should be able to pay you cash. I shouldn't have to give you back the same item. That's going to be the machlokas that we discussed throughout Amud Beis. So let us begin. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Samach Hei Amud Beis. We are at Yehuda V'Chizkiya, five lines from the bottom of the page. Yehuda V'Chizkiya to Yudin Chizkiya were twins, but a very unusual kind of twins. They were born 3 months apart from each other. One of them was finished developing at the beginning of the seventh month, and the other one at the end of the ninth month. So one of them came out at the beginning of the seventh month of pregnancy. The Gemara always assumes that there are two types of pregnancies. There are seven-month pregnancies where we paskin Yoledes L'Shiva, Yoledes L'Mekuta'in, that by a seven-month pregnancy, it doesn't need the full 7 months. When you're on that track, then even if it's a day into the seventh month, that's enough for the baby to come out healthy. And then there are nine-month pregnancies where we pass in Yoledes Letitia, Eina Yoledes L'Mekuta'in, that if a woman is having a nine-month pregnancy, she needs the full 9 months for the baby to develop. So Yehuda and Chizkiya were twins, children of the same woman that were born very far apart from each other because they were on different tracks of pregnancy. So it was an unusual pregnancy and was probably a very difficult pregnancy. That's probably why the Gemara brings it up over here, because against that backdrop, the Gemara tells us, Yehuda Yehudis was Rabbi Chiya's wife. Now Yehuda and Chizkiya were Rabbi Chiya's children. So Yehudis was the wife who delivered these babies. She had tremendous tzar leida with all of her pregnancies. She went to Rabbi Chiya to ask a shayla. Amra itza mifkada piri v'rivya. She asks very simply, is a woman mitzuva on puravu? Does a woman have to suffer through this? Am I obligated in puravu? Amar la lo. He said, no, a woman's not mitzuva in puravu. It's only the husband's obligation in puravu. Azla ishtiya samadi ikarta. So she went and she drank something that would cause her to become become an akara, where she's not going to be able to have any children anymore. Lasof iglai milsa. Then her husband found out what she had done. Amrla ichu yaldus lichada karsa achrita. If only she could have delivered for me another wombful of children, because whenever she had children, it wasn't just a child; it was a wombful of children. She always had these more complicated pregnancies. Damamar Yehuda v'Chizkiya achi, because we know Yehuda and Chizkiya were brothers, meaning they were twins, and Pazi v'Tavi achvasa, and she also had twin girls. So she went through a lot of difficulty in the pregnancies. So frankly, Gemara v'Lom Ifkidi, is that really true? Women are not obligated at all in the mitzvah of Puravu. V'Amar Avacha Barav Ketina Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Meisa Bi'isha Achas Shechetz Yeshivcha V'Chetz Yebascharin V'Kafuas Rabba V'Asa Bascharin. There was a story of a woman who is a chati shivcha v'chati bascharin. We're familiar with the discussion that comes up a couple of places in Shas, in Gittin, in Babasra, and elsewhere, about the eved, that's a chati eved and chati ben charin. What about the similar case by a woman. A woman's a chatzi shivcha, chatzi bascharin. How does it happen? Two people get together and they decide they're going to buy a shivcha. So Reuven and Shimon are partners. They buy a shivcha together. One of them was meshacher her. The other one was not meshacher her. So now she's in this difficult position where she's half shivcha, half bascharin. And what did they do? They forced the master to make her a bascharin. Now by the Yevid, we understand you're going to force the chatzi, the master to make the chatzi Yevid, chatzi ben chor. You're going to force the master that still owns half of him to free him because he's got a mitzvah puravu that he needs to fulfill. But by the Isha, if she has no mitzvah puravu, why would you ever force the master to make her a bascharin? Amrav Nachum Yitzchak Minag Hefker Naguba. The reason they forced the master to make her a bascharin was not because of any mitzvah, it wasn't because she was obligated in puravu, but it was because Minag Hefker, they were knowing Minag Hefker, they treated her like a zona. As Rashi points out, Lefish Lo Haisa Yicholi Nase, since she couldn't get married, Haisa Mafkeres Atzma V'chotimba. She was Mafkir herself, because she knew she would never be with a husband, so she was Mafkir herself to whoever wanted, and people took advantage of that opportunity. So since it was a terrible pritzos, they decided to force the master to free her in order that she not continue with such a terrible pritzos. That would be a terrible thing to continue. Now there is a discussion in terms of to what extent there is a requirement or there is an inyan of arvus when it comes to women. To what extent does a man have to worry about a woman's kiyum mitzvos or a woman about a man's kiyum mitzvos? The Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person can be motzi chavero in birchas mitzvos even if you're already mekayim the mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch writes in Aruch Chaim Sim Reishayin Gimel, and the reason is because Kol Yisrael Arev Mizel Lezeh, that each one is responsible for the other one. So long as you haven't done your mitzvah, it's ki'ilu I haven't done my mitzvah, even though I already have done my mitzvah. It's ki'ilu I'm missing part of my mitzvah, so I'm still allowed to make a bracha on your behalf. So if you haven't said Kiddush and I have said Kiddush, it's clear I'm allowed to say Kiddush again in order to be motzi you. If you haven't said Avdallah and I have said Avdallah, I can say Avdallah again in order to be motzi you. The Achronim discuss though whether a woman is bichlal arvus, and it's really a double suffix. Number one, when a woman has already been yotzei her chiyuv, can she be motzi someone else? Or maybe by an isha, the whole din of arvus doesn't apply. And number two, can a man who is already yotzei his chiyuv be motzi a woman who is not yet yotzei her chiyuv? So we have the question in both directions: is she arev ba'ad acherim, and are acherim arevim ba'ada? Are other people arevim for her? So there is a famous comment of Doglam Ravav in Hilchas Kiddush in Aruch Chaim Sim Reishai and Aleph, where he jumps on a comment of the Rush in Maseches Brachos, where the Rush says that Nashim are not bechlal ha'arvus, that when it comes to Birchas Hamazon, women are not included in arvus, and therefore, if a woman is not chayiv in Birchas Hamazon, she's not able to be motzi a man in Birchas Hamazon. So Doglam Ravav says, a woman's not included in arvus, she can't be motzi someone else. Mistama, no one else is arev bishvila either. No one else could be motzi her either in her requirements, and therefore it would turn out, says the Doglam Ravav, heich matzinu yadenu v'ragleinu. How do we ever work our Friday nights in our home? Most of the time, the men daven marav and shul, the men are already yotzei Kiddush b'tfila. The women are not yotzei Kiddush d'oraisa. They're chayiv in Kiddush midoraisa, but they typically don't daven marav, so they haven't yet been yotzei Kiddush on a d'oraisa level when their husbands come home. How can the husband then be motzi his wife in Kiddush if the husband is no longer chayiv midoraisa because he was already yotzei his chayiv midoraisa? He only has the chayiv d'rabbanan of alakos, and the woman is still chayiv midoraisa. There's no arvus for women. If the husband is being motzi someone else, another man who wasn't yotzei, that's fine, but for women, there's no arvus for women. That's the comment of the Doglam Ravava, that he doesn't understand how any of this works. But Rabbi Kiva Eger, in a tshuva in Madura Kama, Simon Zayin, disagrees with the Doglam Ravava, and he says, the Doglam Ravava says, we do it, what we have to say is that when the Rush says there's no arvus, he means that women have no arvus for men. But in the other direction, it works. Men must have arvus for women. You have to say that way. That when the says the Doglam Ravava, otherwise we wouldn't be able to make Kiddush for our wives at home. So what we have to say is that when the Rush says in Brachos that there's no arvus for women, he means a woman who is already yotzei benching can't be motzi a man who is not yet yotzei benching. But in the reverse direction, a man who is already Yotze Kiddush can be Motzi a woman who is not yet Yotze Kiddush. So Rabbi Kiveger disagrees, and he says that there's no chilik at all between Ish Li Isha Li Inyan Arvus. We don't find in any place that a woman does not have a woman doesn't have the din of Yotze Motzi. He disagrees with the entire reading of the Rush. The Rush never said that a woman has no din of Arvus. All the Rush said is that a woman who's not chayiv in the mitzvah of benching on a Doraisa level is not going to be able to be Motzi someone else. Not because she was already Yotze, but because she never has a chayiv in the first place. Any obligation that she has, that a person is not obligated in the first place, certainly they're not going to be arev b'shvil acherim in that mitzvah. But when it comes to a mitzvah that she is obligated in, like Kiddush, Rabbi Kiveger says she's absolutely included in Arvus. So in the Tshuvas Min, why am I mentioning all this? Because in the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, in Chelek Gimel, Simon and David, he brings a raya to this issue of Arvus from our Gemara. This Isha that's chetze shivcha, chetze bascharin, and they forced the master to make her bascharin so that she'll be able to get married. And the Gemara assumes, before we realize that that it was all on account of the pritzos of the Minik Hefker, the Gemara assumes that originally that it must be because a woman is mitzvah and pru revu, and because of her mitzvah and pru revu, we force the master to free her. But wait a second, the master is not mitzvah in her pru revu. He has no obligation in her pru revu, and yet we're still forcing him to free her. Midin, apparently midin arvus that kol Yisrael arevim zelaze, and his sense of responsibility makes it such that he has to help her be mekayim that mitzvah, and so much so that we're even going to allow him to violate the iser of lolamem tavodu and free an eved kenani in order to enable him to do that mitzvah. So it says Minchas Yitzchak, you see from here that there is a din of arvus like Rabbi Kiveger. There is a din of arvus even for women as well. Now one could argue that there are two types of that arvus means two different things. Arvus could mean that generally I have to see to it that you do your mitzvahs, and arvus could mean that it's a specific din in yotze motzi, that even though I've been yotze my mitzvah, I'm still empowered to be motzi you in that mitzvah. One could argue that the whole issue of whether women are bechal arvus is only in the yotze motzi element. That was the whole discussion by Kiddush. That's the whole discussion by benching. But enochinami, a general responsibility for all Jewish people, and to see to it that they do mitzvos, maybe enochinami, everyone would agree that there is arvos when it comes to that kind of that level of arvos. Okay, adron alach habal yivemto. That is the end of the sixth parak of Yevamos. Now we begin the seventh parak. Almanu l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalutzu l'kohen hedyot. Let's say you have one of these forbidden kohen marriages, and almana marries a kohen gadol grusha v'chalutzu marries a kohen hedyot, and hichnisol avdim lug v'avdetzon bar. The woman brings various possessions into the marriage. Included in those possessions are avadim, and all possessions that a woman brings into the marriage could be divided into two groups, into two types of possessions, two types of agreements that she has with her husband vis-a-vis those possessions. There's what we call nichsei melug and what we call nichsei tzon barzel. The basic agreement of nichsei melug is that she brings the item into the marriage, and the husband she remains the owner of those items throughout the marriage, but the husband has the peros. The husband the husband gets to enjoy the peros as much as he wants. Nichsei melug, the halach is they belong to the husband, and therefore they go, they belong to the woman, and the husband gets the peros, but therefore if they go up in value or down in value, it's the woman's gain or the woman's loss, because they were hers the entire time. So if she brought in a piece of land that was worth $100,000, and then it became a very hot area, and everyone wanted to buy that land, and by the time the marriage was over, that land was worth $1 million, so she gets that piece of, she gets the full $1 million. It's her benefit, it's her gain. Even if the husband invested a lot of time into improving the land and making it worth that much, that's nichsei melug. Nichsei tzon barzel is we evaluate whatever it is, these items that she's bringing to the marriage, and we say, okay, if they're worth $100,000 now, when the marriage ends, she's going to get $100,000. By the time the marriage ends, they may be worth $1 million. That's the husband's benefit. She gets $100,000 for them. They may be worth nothing. That's the husband's loss. She gets $100,000 for it. It's Tzon Barzel. She gets a very set, known, predetermined amount of money. So some avadim that she brings into the marriage, she may bring b'toras nichsei mulug, and some b'toras nichsei Tzon Barzel. So the halacha is avde mulug lo yochlu b'truma. The avadim that are nichsei mulug are not allowed to eat truma because they're her avadim. They belong to her, and she is a halala. So they're not allowed to eat truma. Says Tosfos, afilu man yamar kinyan peres kinyan guftami. Even if you hold generally kinyan peres kinyan guftami, where you would say, well, the husband has the kinyan peros in the avdei mulug, he's the one that benefits from the peros. Whenever we say peros, it's important to remember that when we say peros in these types of issues, it doesn't necessarily mean fruits. Peros means whatever it produces, whatever the object or whatever the asset produces. So if it's not a tree and it's a factory, let's say, so the peros or whatever the factory, or it's a business, so it's whatever profits the business makes. That's what the husband has the rights to. But the actual business is still under the ownership of the woman. So Frektosos, wait a second. If you hold kinyan peros kinyan guftami, that owning the profits of a business is the same thing as owning the business itself, that we count that as if he's the real owner. So then why would we say that the avdei mulug don't eat truma because she's the real owner? No, if he's the kinyan, he has the kinyan peros, then it means he's the real owner. So still lo chashivahachi kinyan kaspo. Still, even though he's the real owner, it's kinyan aguf, it's not considered kinyan kaspo. Kivan she'en aguf shalo, because the actual guf is not his, meaning it still really is hers. Kamo she'en yotzim b'shein v'ayin le'ish. Just like the halacha is, if he knocks out this Eved's tooth or this Eved's eye, the Eved doesn't go free. The halacha is if the Eved's tooth gets knocked out by its owner, the Eved goes free. So even though he has the Kinyan Peros, since he's not the real owner, the wife is the real owner, if the husband knocks out the tooth of the eye, the Eved doesn't go free. So you see that it's not really Kinyan Kaspo. I feel the man yamar Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Guftami, Kedam Ba'achovel. Says Tosos, Ksas Yishlavi Rayot, and we have a little bit of a riot to this. To Betruma as Lina and Basar Kinyan Aguf. In Truma, we always look at the Kinyan Aguf. The Bereish Perek Basar, meaning the Araya to this idea that in our Mishnah that we're suggesting that when it comes to Truma, we look at who's the owner of it, who's the bottom line owner, and not who has the Kinyan Peros. What's the Araya to this idea? The Bereish Perek Basar decreases. Amar Gabe Mafgir Avdo Yatzal Lecherus. In the Sugya where it talks about if a person makes his Eved Hefker, that the Eved goes free, the Mu'ukav Get Shichur Ochel Betruma. That if he did not yet receive his Shtar Shichur, he still eats Truma. Afal Bishayin the Rav Peros El Aguf. Even though once he's Mafgir him, he no longer, the owner no longer has the rights to the Peros. So how can the Eved still eat the Truma of the owner? The owner is a Kohen. If the owner no longer has the rights to the Peros, I thought Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Guftami, so he should be considered not the owner. No, but he still gets the Truma because he's still the owner. He still owns the Guf of the Eved, even though in a Chinami he no longer has rights to the Peros. That goes even according to the opinion of Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Guftami. Still, we look at who really owns the Guf. And whoever really owns the Guf determines whether the Eved gets Truma. So back in our Mishnah, since the case over here is that this Gerusha really owns this Eved, even though she's married to a Kohen, the Eved does not get to eat Truma. But back in the Mishnah, Avdei Tzon Barzel, if it's Avdei Tzon Barzel, Yochlu, then those Avadim get to eat Truma. Because what's the deal with Avdei Tzon Barzel? We evaluate how much the Avadim are worth when they go into the marriage, and that's the amount the husband is going to have to pay when the marriage ends. If the Eved is now worth 10 times as much, the husband will keep the Eved, and he'll just give back that amount of money. He owns the actual Avadim. He just owes her the amount of money that they are worth. Ve'eluein Avdei Mulug. This is the deal when it comes to Avdei Mulug. In Mesu, if the Avadim die during the marriage, Mesula, she loses. She's not going to get anything back when the marriage is over. Vimosiru, if they go up in value, she brought into the marriage an Eved who is 4 years old, and we didn't know what he was going to be worth, and so he had a certain value. But then he grew up to be this big, strong Eved who's able to accomplish, and he's brilliant, and he's curing diseases and selling things to pharmaceutical companies, whatever he's doing. That it all works for the master. So he's worth a ton of money. Hosirullah, she's the one that benefits. Even though the husband is chayev to support them, still they don't get to eat truma. Even though the obligation to feed them is the husband's obligation, so you would think part of what he feeds people with is his truma, because that's his food, still they're not allowed to eat truma because they are fundamentally the wife's avadim and the wife is a chalala. What is the definition of avdei tzon barzel? Imesu mesu lo. Avdei tzon barzel, if the eved dies, the husband still has to pay whatever we evaluated the eved to be worth at the beginning of the marriage. When the marriage ends, the husband has to pay that to the wife, even though the eved's no longer here. Vimosiru, and if they go up in value, hasiru lo, then the husband wins. If the eved was worth $1,000 when the marriage started, he's worth $1,000,000 now, husband's only got to pay $1,000. Hol vu chayev bachriyusan, hare el. And since the husband is the one that's chayv in the achrayis of the eved, he's the real owner of the eved, so then the avadim get to eat the truma of the husband. Bas Yisrael shenisis lekohen. Let's say a regular Jewish girl marries a kohen v'chnisa lo avadim, and she brings avadim into the marriage. So in that case, bein avdei milug, bein avdei tzon barzel, hare elu yochlu b'truma. In that case, even the avdei milug get to eat truma. Aye, she's the owner of it. Yeah, but she's married to a kohen, so the avadim are allowed to eat truma. She's not a chalala. She's a regular wife of a kohen. Ubas kohen shenisis li Yisrael. If you have the reverse, a bas kohen that marries a Yisrael v'ch Nisalo avadim, bein avdei milug, bein avdei tzon barzel, and she brings into the marriage avadim, whether it be avdei milug or whether it be avdei tzon barzel, hare elu lo yochlu b'truma. They do not get to eat truma. The avdei milug, the avdei tzon barzel, do not get to eat the truma because she is married to Yisrael, and therefore she's part of the Yisrael's household, and so are the avadim. They don't get to eat truma anymore. Good, says the Gemara. Va'avdi malug lo yochlu b'truma. This is going back to this halacha, that when a grusha marries a kohen, her avdi malug don't eat truma. Why is that the case? Amai, lahavi ki kinyano shekana kinyan. It should be just like his kinyan acquired something else. Whenever the kohen's kinyan acquires something else, all of that should eat truma. The Tanya, just like we learned in the Braisa, minayin lekohen shenasi isha. How do I know that if a kohen gets married, vikana avadim, and she buys avadim, she yochlu b'truma, that they get to eat truma? Shenemar vikohen ki yikna nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochel bo. And how do I know that if the woman was kona avadim, va'avadav shekanu avadim, or his avadim themselves were kona avadim? So the first line of the braisa is the kohen's original kinyan. The kohen is kona a wife, or he's kona avadim. So that first stage, they get to eat truma. The wife gets to eat truma. His own avadim get to eat truma. Second step of the braisa is, what if the avadim belong to the wife? So it's not avadim that belong to the kohen, it's avadim that belong to the wife. Or avadim that belong to the avadim. The avadim are kona avadim. Sheyochlu b'truma. How do I know they also get to eat truma? That second level down. Shenemar v'kohen ki yikna nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochel bo. Kinyano shekona kinyan ochel. That the kinyan that was kona, another kinyan, gets to eat the truma. So bottom line is, if the kinyan that is kona, another kinyan, gets to eat the truma, why in our Mishnah, when the kohen marries a grusha, do her avdei milug not get to eat the truma? They are the kinyan of his kinyan. His kinyan is his wife, and the avdei milug shalah are her kinyan. So they should be allowed to eat truma. A little bit of a strange case over here. Avadim shekanu avadim. We ever have such a thing that an eved buys other avadim? The eved purchases avadim. Don't we have a rule in general? Kol ma shekanu eved kana rabo. Whatever an eved buys, he's not buying anything. It all belongs to the master anyway. So what does that even mean? An eved buys other avadim. So Rashi already points out him. Tomer ma shekanu eved kana rabo. You could have such a case where an eved is kona something and it does not belong to the master, if a third party gives money to the eved on the condition that the master has no rights to it. So then it's the eved's own property, and when he buys an eved, it's actually his eved and it's not the master's eved. Now if you look at Tosos, Tosos points out, afilu Rav Meir damar ein kinyan leved b'lo rabo, afilu amenashe yatzo. What about according to Rav Meir that you can't give anything to an eved almanas, anything almanas, that it doesn't work to say almanas that the master should have. have anything. Still Mishkach Savadim Shekanu Avadim, you could still have a case of an Eved that's Kona an Eved, Bimafkir Avdo, Da Ochel Betruma, Very Pragbasa de Krisos. In a case where a person is Mafkir as an Eved, where the Eved is still able to eat Truma, but the Dine Mamanus of the Eved, the owner doesn't have anymore. So such an Eved can buy his own Avadim, and we don't say Kol Mashkan Eved Kon Rabo, because the Eved is no longer owned Mitzad the Dine Mamanus. The owner only has a Kinyan Isser. He no longer has a Kinyan Mamon in him. So the Eved could still eat the Truma of the master, but he's able to buy his own things. Be that as it may, this Brisa seems very clear that the kinyan of the Kohen's kinyan also gets to eat truma. So therefore, we're stuck with the kasha. Why is it that the nichse melug of the Kohen's wife do not get to eat the truma? So the Gemara gives three approaches, three answers. Answer number one: kol ochel ma'achil, kol she'ein ochel eino ma'achil. Only someone who themselves is able to eat truma can be ma'achil truma, but someone who themselves cannot eat truma cannot have on their account that someone else will be able to eat truma. This woman, this grusha that's married to the Kohen, is a chalala. She's not allowed to eat the truma, her husband's truma, so she can't have her avadim eating truma on her account if she herself can't eat the truma. Frakta Gemara Velo, is that really so? That someone who themselves cannot eat truma cannot be machil truma? Vare arel v'kalat meim shein ochel machilim. What if you have a Kohen who's an arel, or a Kohen who's tame, so currently he's not able to eat truma, yet all of his avadim and his wife and everyone else is allowed to eat truma, so how can you say that anyone that cannot be ochel cannot be machil? And so Gemara hasam pumayu kayev luhu. No, that's when a person is tame, when a person is an arel, that's a state of being that can be fixed. That's something that you can rectify. So over time, one day he will be allowed to eat truma. So you can't call him someone who's eino ochel. He's someone who currently isn't eating truma, but he's not an eino ochel. It's ki'ilu, his mouth hurts him, and that's why he's not eating, because he has a sore in his mouth. You're going to say such a person is an eino ochel? Certainly not. So he is someone who's able to eat truma, and he can be machil to other people. But when it comes to this woman, this grusha that's married to the Kohen, she's a chalala, and that's never going to be fixed. She's going to be a chalala forever and ever. So says Gemara, Vare Mamzer, She'ein Ochel Machil. What about a Mamzer? Mamzer's not allowed to eat truma, and he can be machil truma. So Rashi right away says, where's that halacha? Mamzer's not allowed to eat truma? Who says the Mamzer's not allowed to eat truma? So what's this about? So Rashi says, it's not really about a Mamzer. This is referring to a specific case that comes up on Daf Samach Tes, where we talk about a regular Jewish, a regular Israelis girl that marries a Kohen, and they have a daughter, and that daughter marries a mamzer, and they have a son from that marriage. So the grandson is born, and then the daughter dies, but the grandson is still alive. So the grandmother is an Ashes Kohen, and this daughter, and she can still eat truma, even though their child that is no longer alive. She could, even after her husband dies, she could still eat truma, because she still has offspring from a Kohen husband. As long as she has offspring from a Kohen husband, she's still able to eat truma. So she has a granddaughter that's alive from the Kohen husband, she's able to eat truma. Yeah, but that granddaughter came from a mamzer in the middle generation. Still, it doesn't matter. The fact that it came through a mamzer, even though the mamzer himself is a Yisrael, so the mamzer himself is not going to be able to eat truma, but nevertheless, the third generation is able to eat truma. So says Gemara, it can be machl truma, back to the mother rather. So says Gemara, to the grandmother. Amar Avina, Kinyan Ochel Ka'amar. Kinyan Ochel Machel, Sheino Ochel Eino Machel. Yeah, but that's not an issue of Kinyan. We're talking about a case of where one eats Truma on account of being a Kinyan of the Kohen. Over there, it's a matter of being part of the Kohen's household. But whenever we talk about being a Kinyan of the Kohen, you can only be Machel others if the original Kinyan of the Kohen is also able to be Ochel Truma. So that's answer number one. Why is it that the Avdei Meluk are not able to eat Truma? Because Kol she'eino ochel eino machil, the woman herself is not able to eat truma, she's a chalala, so mele ravadim cannot eat truma either. So answer number two, v'rava amar, midaraisa mechalachli. On a daraisa level, these avadim are allowed to eat truma. V'rabbanan u'degazribu, it's only gzeret rabbanan k'desha tomar, so that we're trying to get her to engage in some introspection. Let her think about it for a minute. Ani eini ochel, she's going to think,
think, here I am, I'm married to a Kohen, yet I'm not allowed to eat Truma. Avadai in an Ochlin. My Avadim are not allowed to eat Truma. What does this look like to the outside world? Zoni Hiatzlo. It looks like I'm a Zona to this man, that I'm not even a wife of this man, that I'm some Zona that just sleeps with him. Hilka Chasi Lafuka. So we're hoping that that will encourage her to ask for a divorce, so that this marriage, which is a marriage of sin, it's a marriage of an Isra Lav, where it's a Grusha to a Kohen, we're hoping that that marriage will end. Then the third approach as to why it is that the Avdei Malug do not get to eat Truma, Rav Ashi Amar Gzeirah Shematachil Achar Misa. We're afraid that if the Avdei Malug get to eat Truma, then she's going to continue to give the Truma to the Avadim even after the husband dies. Because but Avdei Tzon Barzel, we don't have to make any such Gezerah, because right now, while they're eating Truma, she doesn't think it's because of her that they're eating Truma, because they belong to him. That's why they're eating Truma. So when he dies, it will be obvious to her that they should not eat Truma. But the Avdei Malug, which do belong to her, we're afraid she's going to continue to feed them the Truma even after the husband dies. Frank tells us a very sharp kasha. Says those tema. I'm sorry. So let's see the Gemara first. Elameata, ask the Gemara. Elameata, what seems like a sharp kasha. Bas Yisrael shenisis lekoyin lo tachel gzeres shematachel achar misa. Any case, forget about a marriage of iser of a grusha lekoyin. Take any case, any Bas Yisrael that's married to a Kohen, we should say that her Avdei Malug don't get to eat Truma. Why? Because if her husband dies, she might continue to feed those Avadim Truma after the death of the husband. So we should have that same concern. So on that, Kasha Tosa says, what do you mean have that same concern? They're totally different cases. Tema, Delo Dami, Da'asam Lekal Amiti, Da'bachai Abalai So'achalos Ba'atzma. By the case of a regular Yisrael that's married to a Kohen, she would never have a Havamina to continue to feed the Avadim after the Kohen dies. Because while the husband was alive, she was still eating Truma. When the husband dies, she has to stop eating Truma. So of course she'll realize that the Avadim also have to stop eating Truma, that her Avadim also have to stop eating Truma. But when you're talking about a Grusha that's married to a Kohen Hediot, while the husband was alive, she was not able to eat Truma. So vis-a-vis her, nothing is changing when the husband dies. And that's why you would assume she would make the mistake of thinking that nothing has to change with her Avadim either after the husband dies. And just like the Avadim were eating while the husband is alive, the Avadim will continue to be able to eat while the husband is dead. It's a sharp kasha that Tosfos has on the Gemara's kasha. What the Havamina is to compare a case of a Grusha the Kohen Hediot to a case of a regular Yisrael that's married to a Kohen. But anyway, Ela Amar Ravashi, Ravashi suggests as follows. Balmana Kohenes da Asila Ruye. We're dealing with an Almana who's a Kohenes, who herself is a Bas Kohen, where she can come, she'll make the mistake. Why, what's she going to say? Meikara Achli B'Truma D'Benasa. She'll say, well, before I got married, I used to always eat Truma as a little girl. My father was a Kohen, I always ate Truma. Insvilei Lahai Achli B'Truma D'Gavrai. Then I got married to this guy, and now I eat the Truma of my husband. Vahashta Hadri Li the Milsi Kamaisa. Now that my husband's no longer around, I should go back to my original status and eat my father's Truma. Not realizing, but in the interim, she was married to a Kohen Gadol, which made her a Chalala, and now she's ineligible to eat her father's Truma. Vloyadad Meikar Lo Shavisi Nafsha Chalala. She didn't realize originally, when she was a little girl, she was able to eat Truma because she wasn't a Chalala. Hashta Shavisi Nafsha Chalala. Now she's already a Chalala. So it says, that's why the Avdei Malug aren't going to eat Truma, because it's too easy for the woman to make a mistake to think that the Avadim should not have to change once the husband dies. It says, that makes a lot of sense if the Almana is a Kohenes. But if the Almana is a Bas Yisrael, there's never a Havamina that she would think that she's allowed to go back to eat the Truma. And it says, it's a low plug when we say the same thing about all Almanos. That's the end of the first topic on today's daf. So again, the first topic was all about the Avdei Malug and why it is that they don't get to eat Truma when the marriage is an usher marriage. Second topic. Now we're going to talk about Tzon Barzel. The chasm that she brings into the marriage in general. Nothing to do with the Kohen. A woman brings in the chasm into the marriage and they evaluate in the Ksuba. It says in the Ksuba, we evaluated all the chasm she's bringing into the marriage to be Keser, Zuzi, Masa, whatever it is. Whatever the amount of money is, we evaluate that amount of money. Then when the marriage is over, that's how much the husband owes. Itmar. Hamachnesas Shum Labaila. So in our Ksubas, we just have a set amount where we pretend whether she's the richest girl in the world or the poorest girl in the world, that she's bringing a set amount into the marriage. We don't actually value it. If you look back to Ksubas a couple hundred years ago, they actually went through item by item, you know, what the items were worth, and they evaluated what they were worth to write into the Ksuba as Nichsei Tzom Barzel. Let's say she has an item, a specific item that she always had, and she brought into the marriage, and they evaluated it as worth $1,000. And then the marriage ends, and the item is still there. Nothing happened to it. It's a piece of furniture, let's say. It's a chair. So it's still there. Nothing happened to it. It's still in good condition. He omeris, kli ani no telas. She says, I want my chair back. V'hu omer, damem ani nosein. He says, no, the deal in the ksuba is that it's worth $1,000, so I give you $1,000 back, but I'm keeping the chair. Why would they fight about something like this? People fight about everything when they get divorced. So adin in me. So who wins over here? Does the does she have the right to take the actual kli back, or does the husband have the right to insist that he's only going to give money back? Machlokas amarayim. Rav Yehuda amar hadin ima. Rav Yehuda says she has the right to demand the kli. Rav Yami amar hadin imo. Rav Yami says no. The din is imo. He has the right to say that he's going to give the cash back. And not the kli. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Adini Ma. Rabbi Yehuda says she's the one that wins. She gets the kli back. Mishum Shevach Besavia Dida Havi, because it's meaningful to her that this came from her father's house, that this is something that she always owned. So that's something that's valuable, and therefore she's able to demand that she get the item itself back. Cash is not doesn't have any sentimental value. Rabbi Ami Amar Hadini Ma. Rabbi Ami says no. He can pay her cash if he wants. Kivin Damar Mar Im Mesu Mesu Lo Im Osiru Osiru Lo Hal V'Chayv. That after all, didn't we say that if they go up in value, down in value, he's going to be on the hook for the same $1,000? If this chair was broken and wasn't worth 2 cents, he'd be on the hook for the $1,000. If this chair was worth $1,000,000, he'd only have to pay her $1,000 and he'd be able to keep the chair. So it happens to be that the chair is worth exactly $1,000. Why should he have to give back the chair? Let him just pay the cash. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Ami. Amar Rav Safra, Mikatani Vehin Shalo? But wait a second, does it actually say that it belongs to him? No. Hol v'chayev ba'achriyusan katani. It only says that he's chayev in the achrayus, that he's responsible for it. But liolam lav didaynenu. So Gemara is asking Rav Ami, it sounds like it's not really his, it's just that he bears responsibility for it. But it still actually belongs to the wife. So shouldn't he have to give it to the wife? So says Gemara, v'kal hecha d'chayev ba'achriyusan achli b'truma. What do you think? Anytime the husband, who's a kohen, has achrayus for something, that would be enough to allow it to eat truma. Meaning, in our Mishnah, the Kohen had achrayus for the Avdei Tzon Barzel. And we said the Avdei Tzon Barzel are therefore allowed to eat truma. Because of a chiv achrayus, even though he's not the real owner, you can say he's not the real owner, but the chiv achrayus allows him to eat truma. It allows the Eved to eat truma. Vatnan, but we learned in the Mishnah, Yisrael shesachar parame kohen. If a Yisrael rents a cow from a kohen, hareze yachilena karshine truma. The Yisrael is allowed to feed it karshine truma. Karshinim are something that's Michael behema. Otherwise, if it was Michael Adam, Tosfos points out, you wouldn't be allowed to give it to a behema, because that would be called hefsid truma. The halach is by truma, very similar to something that has kedusha shviyas. So in Yonah Diyom of Shemitah, very similar to things that have kedusha shviyas. You're allowed to eat things that have kedusha shviyas, and Kohen is allowed to eat truma, but you have to eat it in the best possible way. You have to have, let's say you have Shemitah wine, you're not allowed to use it as cooking wine. You're not allowed to feed it to a behema. You have to eat it in the best possible way. I think the difference is the Mishnah Shviyah says when it comes to Shemen Shel Truma, that Shemen Shel Truma and Shemen Shel Shviyah are different. That you're not allowed to light Shemen Shel Shviyah. You're only allowed to use Shemen Shel Shviyah to eat or to rub on your skin to anoint one's skin. But Shemen Shel Truma you're allowed to use to light as well. So that's the only difference. But anyway, so Karshine Truma, the Yisrael who rents the cow from a Kohen is allowed to feed it Karshine Truma. But Kohen Shesachar Parim Yisrael, a Kohen who rents a cow from Yisrael, Afal Pisha Mizono Seha Olav, even though the Kohen has full responsibility, so in terms of Achrayus, the Kohen has all the Achrayus, still Lo Yachilana Karshine Truma. He's still not allowed to feed a Truma. So how can we say that whenever the Kohen has full Achrayus, it's considered that it belongs to the Kohen in the sense that he's allowed to feed a Truma, even though it doesn't really belong to the Kohen? Over here by the rental case, Kohen has full Achrayus on that which he rents, and he's not allowed to feed it Karshine Truma.
Tosos asks Kasha, Vahadetran ma'arvin li Yisrael b'truma to shari ba'ana, that we say that a Yisrael, we're allowed to make an eruv for Yisrael using truma, because truma is mutar ba'ana even for Yisrael. But wait a second, the Yisrael is not even allowed to feed the behema kashini truma. So how can you say it's mutar ba'ana? So Tosos points out a very important distinction in terms of two types of hana'a. Hana'a can mean two things. I get hana'a when I eat food, and I get hana'a when I look at a painting, let's say. When I'm looking at a painting, that hana is not taking away anyone else's ability to later get hana from that painting. But when I eat the food, it's definitely taking away anyone else's ability to get hana from that food. There's what's called hana shel kiloi and hana sheino shel kiloi. When there's hana that I'm using the item up, but the item is not going to be available anymore, that kind of hana Yisrael is not allowed to get from truma. So he's not allowed to use truma to burn it or to do anything. He's not allowed to feed it to his animals. That hana he's definitely not allowed to get. Hana sheino shel kiloi, he is allowed to get from truma. But bottom line, we still have this question. Why is it that if we assume that whatever the Kohen has achrayus for, he's allowed to feed truma to, so why is it that the Kohen is not allowed to feed truma to this animal that he rented from Yisrael? Says Gemara of Tizra, you think the Kohen has full achrayus for that? When he rents a cow, he's chayiv in gnev v'aveda, but ba'onsei, b'kachsha, u'b'nifchas tameha, mi mechayiv. But if an onus happens, or if the animal gets weakened, or if the animal is lessened in value for whatever reason, he has no chiyuv for that, so he doesn't have full achrayus. Holo dami el sefer, you want to compare the relationship of a husband with his wife's nuchzei tzon barzel to something? Here's what you can compare it to. Yisrael shesham para me kohen. A Yisrael that evaluates the para from a kohen. Meaning, he takes the para from a kohen and says, this para is now worth $1,000. I will give you back $1,000 worth of para, regardless of what happens to it. So then, lo yachilene karshine truma. He's not allowed to feed a truma. Aval kohen shesham para me Yisrael, yachilene karshine truma. A kohen, he takes full responsibility for the part of Yisrael. Full, complete responsibility. He's allowed to feed a karshini truma, so it fits perfectly. Just like the Tzon Barzel. The Kohen has full responsibility for the Avdi Tzon Barzel of his wife. That's why they're allowed to eat truma. Yosef, Rabbi of Rav Yosef, Bishili, Pirkei de Rav Nachman. Rabbi and Rav Yosef were sitting in Rav Nachman's shir. V'yasi v'kamri, and they were learning the following. Tanya kavaseid Rav Yehuda, v'tanya kavaseid Rav Yami. They brought a raya, a brisa that's a raya to Rav Yehuda, and a brisa that's a raya to Rav Yami. Tanya kavaseid Rav Yami, a brisa that supports Rabbi Ami that the husband gets to just pay off in cash. Well, for even the Tzon Barzel, Avdi Tzon Barzel Yotzen B'Shein Va'ayin Le'ish Avalo Le'isha. The Avadim of the Tzon Barzel, if the husband knocks out the tooth or the eye, the Eved goes free, because the husband's the real owner. If the wife knocks it out, it doesn't go free. The Eved doesn't go free because she's not the real owner. So you see, the husband's considered the real owner of the item, so you should be able to pay it off in cash and not give the item back. Tanya Kavaseid Rav Yehuda, we have a Braisa that says like Rav Yehuda, that the wife can demand the item back and the husband cannot just give back cash. Hamachnesa shum lebaila, if a woman brings in something that we evaluate to the marriage, imratza ba'al limkar, if the husband ever wants to sell it, lo yimkar, he's not allowed to sell it. It's not really his. V'lo od, not only that, elafilu ichnes la shum mishalau, imratza ba'al limkar lo yimkar. Even if he brings into the marriage something that they evaluate that he's going to owe her a certain amount, he's not allowed to sell. Machru shneim liparnasa, if either one of them sells it, the sale is not binding. The husband could be motzi miyad alakuchos. He could take back the item from whoever bought it, because he's not entitled to sell it. So you see that he's not the real owner of the Tzon Barzel, and therefore, if he's not the real owner, the woman can demand, I want the item back. I don't want just cash. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Halach Krav Yehuda, we paskin like Rav Yehuda, that the husband is not the real owner, the wife can demand the item back. Amar Rava, Rav Nachman, Vatani Kavasid Rav Yami, but we have a price that supports Rav Yami. Avgav, Vatani Kavasid Rav Yami, Mistav Retaimid Rav Yehuda, Mishum Shvach Besavia. Even though we have a price that supports Rav Yami, Rav Yehuda has compelling logic. The idea of Shvach Besavia, that something has sentimental value to her, is powerful, and therefore she should be able to demand it back. Hayit Sadaile Ligavra, Itstala de Milsa. A woman once brought a woolen cloak into the marriage, b'ksubasa, and they evaluated it as part of the nuchzei tzon barzel l'ksuba. Shachiv, the man died, shaklu yasmi parsua misna. The yisomim came and they spread it over the dead body. Amar Rava, kanya misna. Rava says, anything that's used for a mace,
mace. You're not allowed to, it becomes asr ba'ana. So the mace has been koneit. Amalei, nani, b'rei de Rav Yosef, b'rei de Rav al-Rav Kana, v'am Rav Nachman alach Rav Yehuda. But I thought we passed like Rav Yehuda. And therefore it really belongs to her. So how can you say it belongs to that it now goes to the mace? Amalei, mina l'mod Rav Yehuda, the mechusar gavayna. Yeah, but she hasn't yet collected it. V'kivin de mechusar gavayna, v'reshu sekoi. Since it hasn't yet been collected, it's in his possession. And this is Rav al-Tamei, dama Rava, hektish, chamitz v'shichur, mafkin midei shibur. That even though there may be a shibur on certain items, but when they're granted kedusha, let's say, so the shibur goes away. So even though Yerachanami, this cloak may be mishubedes to the woman, where she's able to she's really the owner of it, but she's able to collect it, but since it becomes hukdash, by being put on the mace, she's no longer able to collect it. That's mafkia midei the shibur. That takes away the shibur. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll pick up from Rabbi Yehuda tomorrow, Bez Hashem.